I'm going to share with you 2 Corinthians 5:20. So just repeat after me. We are ambassadors for Christ who carry the message of Christ to the world. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Say it with me again. We are ambassadors for Christ who carry the message of Christ to the world. This is the theme that we taught our kids in San Jose Christian Alliance Church just a month ago. And you'll see for the rest of today's service, you'll hear from a lot of youth and adults who've gone out. We've commissioned teams out to San Francisco's Tenderloin as well as Mexicali. And this past week, I just want to share with you family business in the Alliance. Just as Sergio and Ada went and met other Spanish speakers within the Greater Alliance, in Sacramento, there's an exciting ministry that has been happening for about 20 years, and it's a ministry reaching out to the Arab Muslim refugees. There's about 12,000 flocking into Sacramento with more there's plans for more refugees to come. So Pastor Rayed and Manar, he's Syrian and she's Jordanian. They started an Arab American Learning Center about 20 years ago. There was a group of intercessors from our San Jose campus that went up there and prayer walked a certain neighborhood of the city even before the first refugee came. And it's amazing how the specific areas that they prayed for is a specific area that these Arab Muslims have flocked to. So it's amazing how God has used intercessor and prophetic prayers to prepare the land for his kingdom. And Raya, the wife, Manar, she's been waiting, prepared since 2004 to start a preschool. Her dream has been to educate Arab Muslims with the gospel from a very young age. And I got connected to her just a few years ago. And she had many opportunities to start a preschool at local churches, but she always kept saying, God is going to give us our own land. And he did. So about a year and a half ago, they invited me to bring some people up to Eastern Avenue in Sacramento because there was a piece of land over 3 acres that was up for sale. And in faith, we marched around this property and we said, Lord, this land is the land that you have given to us and we're going to declare it in faith. And in time, they were able to purchase the land. And so you'll see there are basically 4 or 5 pods. The worship center on the right is still being renovated. There's a community center that's in operation now. So even when we were there this week, we saw many Muslims coming in just to get some basic services and support. And on the left, there was an already made 3-room preschool building. And so she asked me, how can you help me? I said, absolutely. And for some of you who don't know, I started a preschool in our San Jose campus, very humble beginnings. So it's a miracle that I was able to put on behalf of this preschool over $20,000 to furnish the first Arab Christian preschool in America. We're making history. We made history this week. And so from New Vine, we had Randy and Angus come. So I'm going to have these two brothers come and share. We went to go furnish a classroom, but I think we came back receiving so much more. And so these brothers are going to come and share with you all that they have received during our 2 short days there.
So I think what really challenges me that we spent 2 days there. We got there at like 11 a.m. And actually the car ride was like 2 hours. And then I got out the car and then I'm like, okay, I'm ready. You know, did a little stretch and I'm like ready to work, right? And we put together, Rennie and I and the other guy, we put together like a little dome and a little play structure. They call it a cottage, which is really fancy for little kids, we put together. And I was like kind of sweating a little bit. I was like, okay, great. This is, you know, something, this is good. This is what I came here for. And then let's keep going. And then at 1 o'clock, they're like, oh, we're gonna have lunch. It was only like 2 hours in, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just eat more, and then like I will fuel myself, and then just work more later, right? And you know, there was amazing food. Like there's like falafel, fresh pita bread. I'm just like naming all these food, like reliving right now. Hummus, and then like three kinds of flatbread, like meat, spinach. If you don't like spinach, you have cheese. If you don't like cheese, you have meat. You know, just like very abundant. And then I'm like, wow, this is very generous of them. And as I sat down, I look at the clock. I'm like, okay, 45 minutes in, like I should go back to work, right? Like to put more things. Let's get this going. And then Pastor Renette and Manor just sat down and actually shared their story, just like how the story of like how they acquire the three properties, and then as well as actually the lawn that you see on the map. And then I thought to myself, I was like, okay, good story. I'm very encouraged. I'm ready to work. Let's go. And then, you know, they share more and more story. I think part of me was like a little bit angsty. It was like, come on, like we have to work. I feel like, you know, I'm getting all these food. I'm getting all this like generosity and I'm not really pouring out much work. That doesn't make sense. And even crazier, because actually that night, some of the guys and the girl actually went to a farmhouse, which is like so nice. And right, Leonora, it was so nice and like very rustic. And I think as I was on the way back here, I think something really challenged me is that I think I was really challenged by their generosity. How come, I thought to myself, how come I am receiving so much, but I only did so little. I feel like I did so little, but I mean, in fact, we actually did a lot for the preschool. We're setting up, we putting shelves together, we you know, built a play structure. We actually organized the church office too. But I think part of me, I felt like I did not do enough. And I think what the Lord, it's kind of, I think what dawned on me is that it challenged me the same way when I try to receive Jesus' salvation. Because, I don't know, I think when I read the Bible, when I read, okay, like Jesus give us this salvation for free, cool, you know, okay, like thanks God, you know. But then when I think about it, when I experience it in this trip, building the preschool, I was really struck by the fact that no way, actually my heart in reality, when I look at this free generosity over my life, is like, no way, I don't think I can receive this for free. I feel like I have to do something. And it is part of the, I think part of my faith right now is that I realize that I have a hard time to swallow the truth that actually Jesus gave us this salvation for free. The yoke is light and all we have to do is just to believe. It's very counterintuitive in our society, I think, because we have to work up a ladder. But I think the Lord is slowly trying to open, literally like open my mind and expand my horizon to see how true this truth is. So yeah, praise God.
Good afternoon. You know, I'm taking a break from school, so I have summer vacation. Winnie has been asking me every day, like, what's the highlight of your summer? And I have not had one yet until a couple of days ago. You know, I prayed about what God would want me to share with you today. And what I really got was a strong impression that he wanted to clear up misconceptions that we might have about missions. So one of the misconceptions is that I don't have time for missions. You know, Abigail is going to be gone for a month in Uganda serving the AIDS babies and the orphan there. And the YWAM trip to San Francisco was a week, and they were serving the homeless and the drug addicts there. This trip to Sacramento was 2 days. 2 days and in Sacramento. But, you know, even though it was not maybe not as exciting, maybe not as adventurous, it was nonetheless, it was equally as important in God's sight to help lay the groundwork for the preschool. The second misconception is I can't do very much. So I would suggest, like, if you're going on a mission trip, to think about what you're really good at and put it at the bottom of the list, because it really doesn't matter. Sandy said that she chose a group of us that went to Sacramento on two criteria. The first one was that we would not complain, And the second one was that we would work. And that's all we needed. So, you know, just to encourage you, the only things that you need would be a willing heart to serve and also a calling that God's leading you towards. And you might be asking, you know, what is the benefit for me? And you go all the way down there. But really, it's amazing to see. When we first went there a year ago, there were bullet holes in the walls of the facility. And there was this huge barren field with weeds. And they had grown to like 3 feet tall. To go back now, all the work has been donated. When we were there, there were workers from Home Depot. And they were putting in floors and walls. And the grass field would normally cost $11,000 for the irrigation, $50,000 for the grass, and somebody volunteered their time and their effort. So I guess really your faith will be increased because you really see that at a place like this, no one takes credit, and everybody works together for one goal, and that's really so counterintuitive to what the world wants to do. To see God's faithfulness for a people that the world really forgot about. It's really cool because Sacramento is so strategic. Pastor Ryed and Maynard got this property, there were no refugees there. But now it's become like a center for these refugees, and the population has increased to also include Afghans as well. And so I just want to share with you my highlights. Now I have some. So just witnessing how everybody worked together. You know, on one day we were praying with somebody whose daughter was addicted to drugs, and he was working there. And another day we were praying for somebody whose family basically got killed in a car crash. So he lost his wife and two daughters, and he's coming to faith right now. We had a chance to pray with him, and you know, we did. As Angus said, we had a chance to sample authentic Syrian food, and aside from traditional barbecue, you know, one night we sat outside and we put the chairs in a circle, and there were over 20 of us, and somebody brought out a guitar, and we were singing praise songs in English and also in Arabic. And you know, if you closed your eyes, you would have forgotten that you were in Sacramento. It almost felt like you were in some foreign country because the Spirit was so strong there. And I just wanted to leave you with a verse. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So it feels good that you know, we do have a place to go back to. And whatever happens, you know, I don't know. But I do know that God has a plan for each one of us. So I hope that when God calls you, that you will accept the challenge and that you will join us on a short-term mission. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy and Angus and Sandy. So, you know, today is something different than what we normally would do here at New Vine. It's all about really stories of what God is doing among us. And as Sandy talked about a little earlier, from our San Jose church, we sent out a couple of teams. About a month ago, there were a group of like 22 people who went down to Mexicali, and Sergio went last year. And then about a couple weeks ago, some people from New Vine went to the Tenderloin District in San Francisco. And so we have a couple of videos that we want to kind of show. Maybe we stop it at the 2-minute mark because we're kind of short on time today. But the first one is the YWAM video, and then the second one is a Mexicali video. And then later after the video, we're going to have a panel for people to share some of their experiences. I know Toby's been waiting patiently. Thank you, Toby. We're almost there. He's the youngest member of our team, only 6 years old, but you'll get your chance to share. So let's roll those videos, and then we'll have the panel up.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. peace in us we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church and we need your power in us.
Let's go.
Of what folks did. So I'm going to ask those of you that are on the panel from Mexicali and YWAM, if you could come join me on the stage. Let's have those that went to San Francisco sit here, and then those that went to Mexicali sit here, and then we'll get right to our panel. If you could grab that mic, Leonora, as well. So, Mexicali on this side and YWAM on this side. Yes, that's right. Toby, come sit. And maybe sit here. All right. Okay. We're going to start by asking just really quick, just say your name, what grade you're going to be in the fall, and adults can just say your name. So why don't we start? So this is Pastor David. He's our youth pastor from our Seventh Day Church. Yeah, so he led the team to Mexicali, and then...
I'm Esther.
Esther!
Going into 10th grade.
Going into 10th grade, all right, Esther.
I'm Amanda. I'm going into 8th grade.
All right, Amanda.
I'm Connie.
Connie.
I'm Toby. I'm going into first grade.
Toby!
I'm Rachel, and I'm going to seventh grade.
Rachel!
And I'm Leonora.
All right, so I know Toby wants to get to Vine Kids, so Toby, I'm going to start with you first, okay? I'm going to ask you, from your trip, this is your second time to the Tenderloin, right? This is your second time. Last year you went with your dad, and this year you went with your mom. What was your favorite part of the trip, Toby? Can you share with us?
Serving hot chocolate.
Serving hot chocolate.
Sandwich lunch, because we met this guy, he lived in many countries, and he has never seen his family before in a long time, so we prayed for him.
So you were able to pray for someone. Oh, that's wonderful.
And also the spaghetti lunch.
Did you like the spaghetti, or did you like serving the people there,
well,
or both?
I was a host there.
Ah, so you served as a host. What does that mean? Can you explain to us, how did you serve as a host? Did you greet people? Did you bring food?
I greet people. I greeted people at the door who were going to come in. Or sometimes I would show them to their table.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Wow, what a hospitable young man you are. Okay, how do you think God changed you, Toby?
Before from this trip, I was like, I didn't really say anything, but like at the spaghetti lunch, I was like, I felt like I got bolder.
You got bolder. God gave you the confidence, mm-hmm. right, to say things and to talk to people. Well, anything else that you want to share with us?
No.
Wow. That's wonderful. Let's give a big hand to Toby. Toby, maybe you can go with your dad up to Vine Kids, and then we can continue with our panel. How's that? Thank you so much, Toby. All right, so since we started with our YWAM team, let's continue. So, Connie, I'm going to go to you since your son just shared. Expectations going into the trip. Did you have any?
Probably. Well, I guess I was hearing more from my husband that went last year. And so I knew the different activities they were going to do. As for me personally, I was struggling with a lot of fears of safety, but I think God really reassured me and gave me a lot of peace. My friend was praying for me. That helped a lot. And So.
Great. Okay, Rachel. This is your second time there, right? Differences from last time?
I think last year, the homeless people, or the people experiencing homelessness, were a lot more aware of the children. Like, when they saw children passing by, they would, like, quickly hide their drugs or cigarettes. But this year, they're, like, a lot more out in the open. And the streets were a lot more cleaned up because people would take them out of the city to clear it out. And I think that was kind of sad because within the Tenderloin, you see a lot of community built within all the people, and like they all know each other, and they're all like a family to each other. So that was kind of heartbreaking to see.
Okay. Miss Leonora.
Yes.
This is also your second time.
It is.
Right? And you led the team of 35.
Yeah.
Right? What was the biggest thing that you heard the Lord say to you this time?
You know, this time, I was actually probably about 3 weeks prior to going, I felt very unsettled, but in like a way where the previous time I was actually unsettled while I was there, and the Lord was showing me it was because this is how the people who are living on the street, this is what they feel every day. And so I started to feel that emotion again, and I knew, okay, Lord, we're going back into this place. Last time, this unsettledness, I wasn't able to sleep. So I probably am not going to be able to sleep again. And so going in, I was expecting God to do something powerful. I was expecting him to do something all really deep within us, because that was really my desire, is for God to do something within us. But when I got there, I just had this feeling like, God, why are we here again? Like, why did you bring us again to pass out hot chocolate again, to serve spaghetti again? Like, what is the purpose of you bringing us here? And the first night there, I couldn't sleep at all. I was more unsettled than I was the time before. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just decided to get up and get ready for the day and to pray and just to spend time with the Lord. And what I realized was that, you know, like Rachel was saying, it looked different this time. There was less people living on the streets, but the spiritual atmosphere felt stronger than the time before. And so I was like, okay, God, like what now, what are we doing? What are we going to do to overcome this? And what are we going to do now experiencing this new, you know, trip with new people? And the Lord showed me that he wanted us to use these weapons that actually we had learned in a training. We had spent 5 months training in, it was called Children's Intercessory School. And in this school, we learned, one of the things that we learned was the power of worship, worship and praise, and how that is a weapon that God uses. He uses, if you're in, you know, in the Bible, it shows that he always uses the worshipers in the front of the army. They're the ones that go out first. So, the morning after everybody else woke up and we gathered all together, I would just sense the Lord saying, like, you guys need to worship. And so we spent some time worshiping, and I could sense the atmosphere changing little by little. But it was still very heavy. And so, do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, okay. Sure. you can't leave us hanging.
I know. I'm like, I didn't want to take up too much time, but so I could sense the atmosphere changing for next time. I could sense it changing, but it was still very heavy. And so with this heaviness, like I was walking around with this unsettledness and this heaviness, and I could see, like, Lord, you know, there's people here living on the streets. They're addicted to drugs. You know, they're without their family. We keep hearing story after story of just the brokenness, the sadness, and hearing so much of that can really weigh you down. And it seems like there's no hope. And so that's what, like, I started to walk around seeing, like, I could see more of what the enemy's doing than what God's doing. It's like, God, where are you in all of this? And so I had this wrestling back and forth, like, okay, Lord, we're here, but are you changing anything here in San Francisco? You know, for those who have been to San Francisco or even grew up in the Bay Area, you've seen, I mean, not much has changed in the Tenderloin, you know, not much has changed in that area. It's been like that. I mean, I remember growing up, my mom's car got broken into when she parked in that area. And so I'm like, you know, just asking God, like, what are you doing? And by the time we left, it wasn't, you know, I was actually the last day, the night before, it was Thursday night. We had went to different ethnic restaurants, and we split up into groups. And when we were leaving our restaurant, there was a group of us. We saw this man who had his head down, and he was leaning against a wall. And I had asked one of the kids to go ask him if he wanted some of our leftovers. And so he went up to him, and he asked him, you know, if he wanted the food. And the man immediately began to cry. And in Spanish, he looked up to the sky and said, "Thank you, Lord, like I needed this." And I started to cry when I heard that, you know. And so we went and we spoke to him. And we just asked him how he came there, how he came to San Francisco. And it was a little hard to understand how he got to San Francisco, but we found out that he was in the military in Mexico, and his car had been stolen. And so he wasn't able to work, and he lost his job. And so he was now living on the streets in the Tenderloin. And, you know, looking at him physically, I could see, like, there were, like, tumors all over his head. Like, his skin was really bad. And I'm sitting there the whole time just holding back tears. Like, God, what about this man? You know, what are you going to do for him? Like, we're going to go and just bring him food. What is that going to do for him tomorrow? You know, what is that really going to do for his soul? And so we prayed for him, and as we began to pray for him, he started to sob, and then we're all crying in the group with him, and you know, we hugged him, and then we left, and I had to walk away from the group because I was a little frustrated, you know, like, Lord, now we leave, now what? I can't take him with me and help him, you know, now what are we going to do, or what is he going to do, or what are you going to do for him? And when we came back from our trip, I had the unsettled feeling that I had had for about a month now was still there, and it was getting stronger. And I wrestled back and forth. I'm like, okay, let me try to worship, and it wasn't going away, you know. And finally, this man, whose name was Elias, by the way, he came to my mind, and I started praying for him, and as I started praying for him, that unsettled feeling started to be released. And once I was done praying, it was completely gone. And what the Lord showed me was that we go out, and us praying for this man, it's not some little thing that we're doing. You know, us praying for him, God is doing something not only in his life, but in the Tenderloin. And that there was so much power in our prayers for him. And so I left this time really seeing how, like, we go out and we meet people and we can hear their stories and we can serve them, but how we go in carrying the power of Jesus, and through our prayers, like, these lives will be changed and God will transform a city.
Wow. Thank you, Leonora. Rachel, one last question for you. How did God change you during this trip? What, is there anything that's different coming back?
So usually when I see people, like especially people experiencing homelessness, at first I'm a little like scared because it can be scary going up to them. But then slowly I started seeing this like little spark of light in each person. And I think God really wants us to take a bigger step, because if we never take this step, no bigger impact will go to his people. And I feel like he's really asking us to take this bigger step and shine his light out to the world, even if it's like risking things and stepping outside of your comfort zone. And I feel like we had to do that a lot in the Tenderloin. And it's like really trained me to do that. So.
That's wonderful. So taking a step of faith outside of your own comfort zone. Oh, that's wonderful. That's precious. Thank you, Rachel. Connie, one takeaway from your experience in the Tenderloin. Or something that God really impressed upon your heart.
I think it's similar to what Leonora was sharing, just that it's easy to kind of focus on the negative, the drug addiction, the abusive relationships, and the sickness that we see, but that... God was like, no, Connie, look what I'm doing. And I was like, wow, yeah, God. Because even the park that we took the kids to play with, I didn't know, but before it was just like this place of darkness, lots of drug dealing going on. And I was like, I couldn't even imagine that before, because you look at the park and it's like, it's just so fun and, you know, it's a safe place. Toby was having fun, you know. God was reminding me to continue to pray for his transforming power. I met this really cute grandpa guy, Mr. Lee. We're eating hot dogs, and he's partially blind. And so, you know, he was talking about his tough marriage from the past, and but he had such a sense of peace, and he talked about not worshiping his ancestors, but he believes in Jesus. And I was like, dude, okay, no wonder you have so much this peace, this crazy peace. And so God was like, see, like, you know, my hope is in Mr. Lee. I am doing crazy transformation in the TL. So, yeah, it just reminds me to continue to press in and to pray for God to continue work.
Wow, that's great. So just like you heard that the park was transformed, and you saw in your own eyes how Mr. Lee's life was transformed, that your prayer is for the Tenderloin, that more and more of God's transforming work would continue. Wow, that's great. Okay, thank you, Tenderloin team. This is just a part of the Tenderloin experience. I'm going to turn it over to the Mexicali team. Amanda, since you're sitting next to me, was this your first time there?
Yeah.
How were you afraid to go at first, or?
Yeah, I was pretty scared.
What were you scared of?
I was scared of praying for the homeless people, and I was scared I wouldn't get to connect with the kids because I didn't know Spanish.
Yeah, so language and praying. So how did things turn out? How was your experience there that week? You were still scared, or?
Well, when I met the homeless people, I was really scared, but then we did it like 3 times, and then I wasn't as scared. And I found it was really easy to connect with the kids there.
Okay, so you really saw God, as you took a step of faith, God allowed you to continue and not be scared and to actually talk to the homeless people, pray for them, and also to connect with the kids, despite your lack of Spanish.
Yeah.
Is that right? What is one thing, Amanda, that you feel like you learned through this trip? Because you didn't go with your parents, Randy and, by the way, Randy and Winnie are Amanda's parents, right? So in case you didn't know, I know a lot of you know Randy and Winnie, but your parents weren't there, your sister wasn't there, it was just you, right? And your friends, of course. But what do you think God taught you that week?
God sort of taught me how to have a more open mindset and not to always like be so fixed on my idea of things.
On your own idea of things, meaning like how you view things or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just to keep an open mind, to kind of see what he's doing and to take steps of faith. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Amanda. Okay, Esther, you're from our San Jose church. Welcome to New Vine. This was your
second
time, so you're kind of... you've been there before, right? So
yeah.
How was it different from the first time you went? Or was there a difference?
Yeah, I think, so I kind of had some expectations before the trip, but when I got there, like, I felt God was saying, like, oh, this is going to be very different. And like, it was. Like, we had a smaller team, different people. The weather was cooler.
Still 100, though, right?
Yeah.
Not 120, but still
100. But there were people that were wearing, like, sweaters. So it was like, I don't know. Yeah. And I think for me it was different because I had to be more outspoken, I guess. More, I was like really challenged this trip. Yeah.
How did you push yourself to be more outspoken?
Yeah.
Or how did Pastor Dave push you?
Like, was it the last? Homeless outreach that we were doing, like the morning after breakfast, he was like, do you want to speak to the homeless? And I was like, okay.
And we saw your picture in the video, right? You were sharing your testimony or you were giving a message of some sort, right?
Yeah. And that was very nerve-wracking, but I got through it.
That's great. That's wonderful. Okay, Pastor Dave, this is your third time in Mexicali at the base?
Yep.
Number three. So how was the whole experience for you, you know, kind of leading the team? What did you see in the youth and the parents that went? Any challenges? What did God do from your perspective?
I think for me, as leading this team, like we said earlier, the team was much smaller. The team, I think one year we brought like 40 kids or 40 people. This team was, what, 22? And so it was like half the size, and we were expecting to do VBS for 100 kids or something. So we were kind of scrambling a lot of the time. But similar to what we said earlier, every year is different. Every time we go, every time we serve, every time we think there's a plan or a schedule or something to follow, God laughs at it. You know, God changes it up, and we get to go into new territory and do new things. I think this year, what made our group so unique was our team was much younger. We had fewer high schoolers. The high school to junior high ratio was almost even, and We needed to kind of, myself and the other adults going, we had to kind of instruct our kids a little bit more in, hey, this is how you pray in the Spirit. Because none of our students knew Spanish, or very few, very little Spanish. So we told them, hey, just pray in English and just let the Lord lead it, because yeah, they don't understand you either, so don't worry about it. So I think that was very freeing, though. You know, even though we didn't have language barrier, I thought we had limitations because of our age. I thought there were so many blockages in the way, but actually God supersedes all of it, right? When we pray in the Spirit, when we lay hands, when we are willing to get out of our comfort zone to see what God is doing, then we see the Spirit of God move, and that was very exciting for me. So,
okay. For any of you, has anything changed now that you're back on U.S. soil? And you've been back for, what, a few weeks now? Anything that has changed in your life?
Well, when I got back, I was immediately hit with sickness. I was just like, oof. And then there was, like, distractions that were, like, leaking back into my life. But I think what I learned from Mexicali was that God is there, and you just need to, like, seek him out. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Anything for you, Amanda?
When I got back home, it was hard for me, too. And I was fighting with my family a lot. And I didn't do my TWA for, like, 3 days. But
your
then,
time with Abba, spending time reading God's word.
But then I started praying to God because I was afraid that I didn't change or anything. Mm-hmm. But then he showed me that I was different and that he was in me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. How about you, Pastor Dave?
You know, in Silicon Valley, we live in the Silicon Valley. It's very go, go, go pace. One thing I learned and I try to implement it now is slow down. Like in Mexicali, although they speak really, really fast, their lifestyle is very slow. And that's very frustrating for me, right? So but slowing down and focus on the things that really matter. And the things that really matter are the relationships around us. So this year, for me, my takeaway is learning the story of Pastor Carlos and some of the other members of the church. And just hearing their story and how God really touched their life is really powerful.
Mm, that's great. Okay, let's give a big hand to both of our panels, Mexicali and YWAM. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. You guys can come back down. We are, we're going to close soon, but I just wanted to wrap things up a little bit. You know, you might be wondering, you know, why do we do these short-term mission trips? Why do we send people to the Tenderloin? Why do we send people south of the border? You know, aren't those places dangerous? Why would someone take a six-year-old, you know, to a place where there's, like, you know, drugs and, you know, all sorts of crime? And I think what God has really been teaching us as a community is that this is part of the real world that we live in. And we cannot live in a bubble. You know, a lot of us that live in Silicon Valley, you know, we have nice homes, we have nice neighborhoods, we have nice jobs, nice cars, but this is really not the rest of the world. You know, it's not even 10, 15 minutes from here. You know, even right on shoreline, you see people, you see the RVs, right? You see people living in their cars in their RVs. And I think what God has really shown us is that we can't ignore what's out there. You know, but yet we've been asking God, how do you want us to be as your people, as your hands and feet? How do you want us to impact the society that we live in? And so really that's, you know, as you've heard some of these stories, and this is just really the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more stories of a lot of the people that went. And you know, I encourage you to talk to any one of these guys during dinner to dig a little deeper, to kind of ask more. But really, I think the challenge for us as a New Vine family, as a New Vine community, is so what? Like, you've heard these nice stories. They're beautiful stories, right? But how is the Lord using these stories to challenge us? You know, what is God telling us about some of these stories? How can you and I be the hands and feet of Christ to people all around us? And I'm not even saying going to the Tenderloin or going to Mexico. That's great that people were able to do that or go to Sacramento. But what about the people in your life and in my life? What about your neighbors? What about your family members? What about your colleagues? What about your classmates? What about those that you'll see tomorrow morning when you get out of bed? Do they know Jesus? And are you able to be a witness, to be an ambassador, as Sandy was sharing earlier, to really say, hey, you know what? I want to know about your story. I'm actually interested in knowing who you are. I want to hear about, you know, where life has taken you. And perhaps to say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, as you're experiencing a situation, as you're experiencing a difficult time, you know, I believe in the power of prayer. And can I pray for you and ask the God of heaven and earth to move on your behalf? So that really, that's our challenge today as a New Vine family, as a community, that we wouldn't just let these stories just pass right by and to just say, oh, those are nice stories, you know, but really, what kind of story is God writing in your life? And how does the Lord want you to be involved in his story with the people around you? You know, that's who God has called us to be as a church community, as a people that know him and that know the hope of Jesus Christ. How can we share that hope with those around us? So I want to invite you all to stand as we close tonight. I'm just going to close this in prayer before we dismiss and go up to have dinner. God, we sang of your greatness earlier tonight. We sang about lifting up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we say, God, that we know, God, that you are good. We know that you are great. But Lord, we don't want to just keep this goodness and this greatness to ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the stories, for the testimonies of people who ventured out to Sacramento this week, for people who went out to the Tenderloin a couple weeks ago, and those that even ventured south of the border to Mexicali. We thank you, Lord, for working in all of those distinct and far places. But Lord, we also know that you are working here in our community, that you are working here locally in Mountain View, in the places where we live, in the places where we work, in the places where we come in contact with people each and every day. Father, we ask, Lord, that even as we've heard these stories tonight, this afternoon, that God, you would show us more of your heart for those around us. Lord, people that have yet to experience a touch of you. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would lay people's names on our hearts that we can be praying for, that you would give us an intentionality, that you would help us to be missional, that you would help us to lay aside time to really ask probing questions, to really take an interest in our neighbors' lives, to ask about our classmates, to really see, Lord, what you are doing all around us, that you would open our eyes to see, God, how you are working, that you would show us how to join you in your work. Father, we know that you are not done with us yet, and we ask, God, that you would continue to work deeper in our own lives, Lord, that you would continue to write your story in our lives, but also, Lord, that you would show us how you are building your kingdom here in our local community. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would do that. Father, we ask, God, that you would continue to work in our midst, that you would continue to build this body of believers, that, Lord, all those that don't yet know will have a chance to know. So, Father, we ask for your blessing as we go from here, that your love and your grace would go before us, Lord. We thank you, God, for this time together. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us now, and we ask this in your precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.